Hey everybody, this is Jeff with iSciFi.tv, and tonight's episode for March 20th, 2013, I have the very talented composer John Debney, whose recent work on The Call will make your hair stand up. And believe it or not, he did the soundtrack to Jimmy Neutron, Boy Genius, The Hot Chick, and numerous other movies, and he has his roots in Disney, so go figure that someone with this talent has written something that made my hair stand up. The Call is about a 911 operator who gets a call from someone from her past who ends up being a murderer. And I do not want to spoil the movie, but we sat down with John and talked about his development process in The Call and the multiple projects that he's worked on in the past as well. And a shout out to John Debney and also Ray Costa and his team at Costa Communications for providing us with our guest tonight. So let's move on and get right into the interview.
Hi, everyone. Hi, Jeff. This is John Debney. I'm the composer of the movie that's out right now in theaters that I hope you all go out and see. It's called The Call, and it's starring Halle Berry. Terrific job, and I hope you all go see it because it's a great fun ride, great scary movie.
Hey, John, how are you doing today?
Good, Jeff. Good to talk to you.
Yeah, same here.
Go ahead. Just give me a sec. I'm exiting one car and getting in my car. So then once I'm in my car, we can talk a little more closely.
Oh, goodness.
But anyway, it'll take me a second.
Okay.
I'll talk to you more. Thank you. Thanks, buddy. Hold on, Jeff. Just kind of getting there. All right. I'm ready.
Well, gee, what's the law of using your phone while you're driving?
You know what? I'm now going to be the Range Rover, so hopefully it's going to switch over the speaker.
So we won't have to call 911.
No, you won't. Hold on one sec.
Okay.
Hold on.
Check this out, everybody. He drives a Range Rover.
Hold on. You know what? I'm just putting it on speaker. How about that?
That's fine. Still have you?
Wait, now you're on the range. Great. Can you hear me now?
I can. Hey, and I am recording this, if that's okay with you.
Of course. That's great.
Hey, and I was joking about 911 all because of the movie, The Call, that you've done the compositions for. So that was kind of a segue there. All joking aside, we kind of have to use our cell phones in this day and age. But can you tell me how you developed the soundtrack to this movie and I tweeted this last week about my hair standing up, and I was serious about that.
I think I saw your tweet, so thank you for that. That meant a lot to me. Well, you know what, Jeff? I met with the director, Brett Anderson. You know, it was sort of one of those things, honestly, where they interview a lot of composers sometimes, you know, in a short period of time. And whatever I said to Brad, I think he liked, and so he ended up wanting me to do it. And one of the things, which I was delighted about, one of the things we talked about once he hired me was the type of score that he wanted. And to his credit, he really wanted something a little different. He wanted a very kind of contemporary score, a score that maybe used some sound sounds, or, you know, like custom sampled things, like hitting the tops of a pan or something, you know. In other words, things that you find in everyday life that you can turn into sort of musical sound.
Right.
So we had a long discussion about that and what he wanted the score to sort of be. And so kind of the score formed from that early discussion. Through a lot of experimentation in using, you know, electronic sounds, some organic sounds, and then some orchestral sounds. So it was sort of a combo of those three things.
Now, I know you play. What instrument do you play? Is it everything? Piano? Guitar?
No, I don't play everything. You know, it's a good question because I get asked that a lot. I'm mainly a guitar player from way back in the day, and
I also play piano and keyboard.
Okay.
So you sort of have to play the keyboard these days because that's, you know, where all our sounds live and sort of in that world. And I also play a little bit of a cello, but not well, but well enough to make sounds, some scary sounds, as a matter of fact.
Well, you mentioned that you have organic sounds and everyday sounds that you bring into a composition. It's so hard for me nowadays to recognize something that's, I don't want to say artificial, but something that's computer generated as opposed to generated with a piece of a musical instrument or, we drop something and we sample it and then we put that inside a computer and manipulate it. It just dumbfound me that all the projects that you've, it would be too many to name off in one shot, but
I've been doing it for a while.
Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, I've been very fortunate enough to have had a nice career that continues, thankfully. But you're right. It's changed a lot over time. The technology's only getting better and better. And so now, quite frankly, we're able to do a lot of interesting manipulation of sounds that we really couldn't do before. So it's kind of a wide open new world in terms of sound, and it's a lot of fun, I must say.
Yeah, and you've been quite a busy man. Last year we did a little informal interview via email, but just looking at what you've been working on in the last year, it dumbfounds me how you have a deadline to get something out the door and you keep going and keep going and keep going. How long did you have to work on the call, if you don't mind me asking?
Not at all. It wasn't enough time, honestly. And I'll tell you why. We had the challenge of, working on the call right smack dab during the Christmas holidays, New Year's Eve, New Year's holiday. And therefore, our director was back east for like 3 weeks. You had the family functions that you can't miss.
Right.
But we didn't have as much time as I had hoped. We really had about, from the start of my work to finish, maybe five, six weeks. But of that, two of those weeks were kind of just lost. So it wasn't really enough time because there was a tremendous amount of score in that movie.
Mm-hmm.
And as you heard, it was a very, very heavily produced sound. So that takes a lot of time. It really does. It's harder to do a score like The Call in terms of man hours than it is to do, let's say, a wholly orchestral score. It's the nature of the beast. So I wish we had more time, but nonetheless, we got it done.
Well, and I was dumbfounded just by the main title, where it starts out a little subdued, then it gets intense, and then you pull back the reins again. I'm like, oh, this is going to end in a happy ending, and then there's this just in your face, standing on your hair. And I have not yet seen the movie yet. But the best thing is I can associate the compositions before seeing the movie, and I already know that I'm in for some hair standing scenes.
Oh yeah, you are in for a ride. I must say, to me, working, I think Brad Anderson, our director, is absolutely brilliant. I think he's made a thriller that harkens back to Silence of the Lambs, but on steroids. Mm-hmm. That's what I've been telling people. It's like, it has, in my humble opinion, it has all the great, scary, tense moments of Silence of the Lambs, and yet it is just a ride. Reel 2 and 3 were such a, I don't want to spoil it for you or the one, or those your listeners and your readers that haven't seen the movie, but reel 2 and 3 out of 5 reels of the film are literally a chase scene. Mm-hmm. I guess that's the way that would put it. And it is a very claustrophobic, you know, edgy, gritty experience. And I've seen it with a couple of audiences, and they just jump out of their seat. So I hope you like it when you see it.
Well, and I don't want to reveal the titles of the tracks, because you have these on the demo that I was provided by the real number. But I'll just give people an example that there's one called Tour of the Hive. Don't listen to that while the lights are off.
Thank you. I've done my work. That's good.
You know, I took music theory in the early 80s in high school, but I've kind of since lost it. But I do have a great appreciation that I can go into a movie, and there's some movies out there that aren't the hottest, and I will just go see them for their entertainment value, as it were.
Sure.
Yet the compositions and the soundtrack are phenomenal, and the amount of time and effort that goes in setting the mood and setting the tones, and almost like painting a picture for someone who's blind. And I do have an appreciation for that, having a mother that's blind, that I already know what I have an opportunity like this, John, to talk to you and see what you've worked on. I mean, Doctor Who, the Three Stooges, you really have never been typecast to be a composer that's doing thrillers or doing comedies or doing Disney. And I know you've got some background in Disney with the work that your dad did.
I sure do. Well, thank you for all those kind words. Yeah, I must tell you, Jeff, it is difficult, I think, for anyone working in our business, as you probably know, and be you an actor, composer, what have you. It's very difficult to not get typecast, and I think it takes a lot of effort. You have to be a little bit choosy with what you do.
Mm-hmm.
There was a period of a number of years ago where I was doing a lot of comedies, and I realized that although those are fun to do, you know, they're a lot of fun to work on, I realized that I really wanted to try to steer myself into some more interesting things, and, you know, that are not just comedy all the time. So when I was called to do The Call, and then I did another movie called Jobs, which is a great independent film about Steve Jobs, you know, founder of Apple. It was really wonderful because I have been able to explore other areas of my own psyche and kind of, you know, wear a different hat.
Yeah.
So some of it's luck and some of it's just really trying to choose properly. I think that's the way I put it.
Now, do you have, and not every composer, I guess, this is kind of a loaded question, I guess. Do you have, like, the final cut, or once the composition is laid out and in time with the movie, is it okay when it is actually on the screen? You realize how much time your composition's made it on screen, or is that something that's...
Oh, you mean like when I see the finished product,
right,
or something? No, you know, that's a good question. It's one that we fight a lot of. In other words, in the dubbing process of dubbing a film, all the elements come in, music, sound effects, dialogue, everything, and they mix the movie. And quite often, you know, there's a trade-off that has to happen between music and sound effects and et cetera. So, you know, I'm not always thrilled with the result of certain areas of certain movies, but, you know, it's also... It's a collaborative process, so
right.
It's not really, you know, it's really not about the music. It's really about the overall experience of the film. And in that sense, I'm never that disappointed, because as long as it's ultimately what makes the film better, I'm fine with it. But yeah, every now and then, you know, there are certain things that I wish could be louder. Sometimes there are things I think that could be softer. But you know, you win some, you lose some, and that's the process.
Right. You know, and I think I have seen every movie that your music has appeared in.
Wow.
There's a few in here that I wish I wouldn't have seen. I won't say.
Yep.
You know, this is coming from me. I'll throw it out there. Like The Hot Chick. Really?
Hey, let me tell you about The Hot Chick. I'm glad you brought that up. The thing that's interesting, I had this discussion the other day with someone. The thing that's so interesting is that many times some of the movies that I've done that I, you know, by the way, I share your opinion on that particular movie. But some of these movies that aren't the greatest films of all time, what's interesting, and you mentioned The Hot Chick, sometimes those are the films that people love. What I mean is they'll play over and over and over again on TV because they're just sort of an innocuous, fun thing, and people, it's a weird thing. The Hot Chick is a great example of a movie that it plays all the time, Jeff. And it's like, I'm really thankful for that because that means that somebody out there likes it, meaning the public. And, you know, I get a little bit of a couple cents every time it plays. So it's a really cool thing. So weirdly enough, some of those movies that maybe I wouldn't put on my resume these days are some of the most profitable movies.
Well, it's funny. You know what? I need a little backpedal because honestly, there's a lot of quotes from that movie that I know verbatim. So that means I've watched it more. I've watched it more than once.
You're admitting to your love of that movie. That's a good thing.
Well, one of my favorite ones, honestly, was from 2001, which was Jimmy Neutron, Boy Genius. I'm in my 40s, and I still watch Nickelodeon and can relate to some of the more adult humor, kind of like the Bugs Bunny. The Bugs Bunny was never made for children in the 1950s and 1960s. It was more for folks our age.
Yep,
and
you're right.
Not that, you know, when we say it's an adult cartoon, folks, I'm not talking about the yucky adult stuff. I'm talking about things that you and I can relate in everyday life and some of the comments. And honestly, The Call, I look forward to seeing it. I'm a little nervous because I have friends and associates that work as 911 dispatchers and in law enforcement, and I have a great appreciation of what they're up against every day. And having the opportunity to listen how you came about getting this sound and helping drive the story is, to me, I'm humbled. I mean, I raced home this afternoon, broke every speed limit there was. I work out of an office during the daytime hours, so
right.
I didn't want to become a statistic and have someone have to call 911. But I really, really appreciate your time.
Well, it's my pleasure, Jeff, and I must tell you, I share admiration of the 911 system, the operators and the first responders, etc. And I got to tell you, doing this film really, really opened up my eyes even further about how utterly, you know, be they firefighters, policemen, 911 operators, they really have our back and are huge heroes.
Right.
To each and every one of us, and I think it's been a really cool thing to see some of the reactions to the movie that people really, again, through a really great performance by both Halle Berry and Abigail Breslin in this movie, they really get a flavor for what goes into being one of these operators. And I have to give it to Halle. I think she embraced this thing. She really did a terrific job. So, but thank you for your kind words about racing home to talk to me. I think, you know,
It was one, John, to be honest with you, it was one opportunity that I got from Ray Costa and the folks over at Costa Communications that I didn't want to pass up, because we took a sabbatical from doing podcasts because, like everyone else affected by the economy, that family came first. My project with iSciFi, primarily science fiction, horror, fantasy, but everything to me has some type of science behind it. The science of music, the science of painting, and so forth. And although this movie is a thriller that's not necessarily fictional or scientific by any means, the process of getting that onto the screen certainly is.
Boy, that's true. That's a very true thing. It's getting back to one of your earlier questions. The thing that blows me away about, and especially blew me away with this film, are the sheer abilities, I would say, the talent of everyone involved, be it from the lighting person to the director of photography to the editor, really top-notch. And you're right, it is it's all a science. Putting a film together and getting the sound dubbed to be just right so that people can sit on the edge of their seats and be entertained for a couple hours. It is a remarkable business and art form, and it's only getting more scientific as we go, to be quite frank.
Right.
We're getting, you know, digital prints now, which I don't even know if you're going to see a film print anymore in maybe 5 years. So it's just interesting. It's an interesting time, and technology is just, you know, exploding.
And here I am recording using a laptop and a headset and a couple other things here, but it's all digital, and we're talking.
That's cool.
And I'm talking over, believe it or not, Skype, which Skype is Microsoft. I used to work for Microsoft. And, you know, technology like this, at beck and call, I can talk to someone. I can do an instant message. I can send out a tweet. I have a worldwide audience in a matter of seconds.
Isn't it amazing? I'm with you on all the above. The things that we so quickly take for granted. You know, I'm a Mac guy. I use Macs for, you know, all my music work, and I have an iPhone, you know, and the stuff that we get used to this technology. And then once we learn how to use it, it's just amazing that the next month there's something new, and we're blessed to be living in an age where all this stuff is just, it's sort of mind blowing. It can also blow your mind and be a little bit daunting, of course, but nonetheless, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, you're talking to one of the biggest geeks out there. I work for a company that does secure messaging as my full-time job.
Wow.
So I have several phones, one being the iPhone, and Siri is a royal idiot. When I ask her a question, she's always pulling up the wrong information. And
it's
and that's also because of the people that feed that data, but I don't want to get too sidetracked. With your track record, I know the call and jobs is probably not the only thing in 2013, because it's only March, and you probably can't talk about what's coming up until it's coming up. But I know you're one of the busier people I've seen in Hollywood as far as the composing side and the music side. And, you know, in 15 minutes, we've got to know each other, and I really do appreciate it. Enjoy your ride home, or if you're going to another gig, I wish you great success.
Oh, thank you, Jeff. No, it's a pleasure talking to you. And no, thankfully, I'm going home, and, you know, let's do this again. It was really fun. Anytime.
Will do. Thank you, John, so much for your time again. And
great. Thank you, Jeff.